No more shall thou for me.
The foul curse of slavery has blighted the natural greatness of my race.
In 1861, the United States erupted into civil war, and while the war was essentially about black slavery, black soldiers were not allowed to fight until 1863, when the war was half over. Even then, there were no black commissioned officers, except in a few regiments, for the chaplain.
All the black soldiers served in regiments that had white officers.
Historian Edwin S. Redke.
And for most of them, the chaplain was the only black officer that they would ever meet.
In all, 14 black men served as chaplains in the Union Army.
The most articulate and the most vocal and probably the most effective man was Henry M. Turner, who was an African Methodist Episcopal preacher.
The following are the words of Reverend Turner from his open letters to the AME newspaper, The Christian Recorder.
Chaplains have now, I think, everything that they deserve. They have a special rank assigned to them between a major and captain, horses allowed them, and a fine uniform. Well done, good and faithful chaplain. Enter thou into the labors of thy work.
Believe it or not, chaplains were not required to hold religious services in the regiments. Most of them did, and that meant Sunday services, preaching, not only to the black soldiers, but also to the white officers of the regiment.
Today, being the Sabbath, I proposed to preach for my regiment, but the officers requested me to preach to them first. At the time appointed, I proceeded to do so, but disliking some misconduct exhibited by men whose character should be exemplary, I stopped immediately without pronouncing the benediction, and I left the place to go hold service with my regiment. The cause of my stopping the services which I was conducting for the officers was not that I felt myself to be personally insulted, but because I considered their conduct very ungrateful to God.
Almost every black soldier encountered prejudice and discrimination, sometimes in pretty serious ways, during his stay in the Army. And the people who were able to protest about it, to write letters to the newspapers, to raise a voice, were the black chaplains, because they were officers. They could complain without being accused of mutiny.
Had half the encouragement been tendered to the Negro, which has been given to the Copperheads, the Union might have rallied today over 200,000 colored soldiers.
Relations between the black chaplains and other white officers were not always negative.
Most of the chaplains were received politely and professionally by their white colleagues.
I was amused this morning at a colored boy who came to wait on the table. He was so much surprised at seeing me, a colored man, eating with white officers, that he did nothing but stand and look at me. I suppose that he never saw such a sight before.
Most of the black soldiers were illiterate. Even those from the North had high illiteracy rates. So one of the main jobs that the chaplains undertook was to teach the men to read and write.
Probably there was never such anxiety to learn to read and write as there is in the colored regiment. I am called upon so much for spelling books and have to refuse. It mortifies me exceedingly, especially when I know many secondhand spelling books are lying about the country, for which there is no use. I occasionally run off for a few days and ransacked all the benevolent institutions that can spare a book or primer, besides thousands of papers and tracts and periodicals which I weekly procure for those who can read. As soon as my return is known from my journeys, my quarters are invaded by hundreds of soldiers shouting over each other's heads, "Chaplain, for God's sakes, if you have a spelling book, let me have it." "No," says another, "when I'm ahead of you." And thus rages the spelling book loud clamor until 100 or 200 of them are eagerly grabbed and carried off. Then comes the cry from 100 or 200 more soldiers. When are you going to get more? When do you save me one? Yes, save me one too. And 100 or more called out the same thing. Then follows the rush of those who can read. A hymn book, a testament, a Bible, if you please, a Christian Advocate, the New York Independent, the Boston Herald, the Anti-Slavery Standard. These calls come in a general cry from every direction until several hundred are gone. But what we mostly need are spelling books.
Chaplains also wrote letters home for the soldiers who could not write. They notified the families when a soldier died from disease or from combat. Basically, their jobs were to fit in and to serve the men in whatever way they could, in addition to being a regular religious leader for the unit.
Since my arrival here, I've been acting as a one-horse doctor in recommending castor oil, Epsom salt, and a few army pills for every kind of disease a person has. So a few mornings ago, I was called upon to bestow my surgical skills on a man who had been terribly chased in his attempt to get within our lines. I consequently hastened to his quarters and put him through a rigid examination. I then turned to my assistant surgeon, the cook, and recommended that the man be given a heavy dose of fat meat and hardtack, and his insides be well bathed with warm coffee or tea, and that he be furnished with as much sleep as could be packed into a 24-hour measure. The next time I saw the gentleman, he had recovered and had come around to enlist as a United States soldier.
Of course, this was war, and every man in the Army shared war's dangers.
Turner was right with the troops as they fought. In one case, he was being chased by Confederate soldiers, fell off his horse and injured himself, but managed to get away. In another case where his troops were in reserve on the attack on Fort Fisher in North Carolina.
Notwithstanding that my regiment was not engaged in the attack on the fort, yet it fell to my lot to accompany the attacking party, as I had been chosen by Surgeon Barnes, the medical director, to act as his aide for this occasion, which was no easy job. Never have I seen grape and canister used so effectively as the rebels used it on our troops on this occasion. At one time, I thought they could not stand it. Neither do I believe they would have stood, but for the fact that they knew the black troops were in the rear. And if they, the white troops, failed, the colored troops would take the fort and claim the honor. Indeed, the white troops told the rebels that if they did not surrender, they would let the Negroes loose on them.
During occupation duty in Smithville, North Carolina, and encountered the local civilian population who were completely appalled at the fact that here was a black man who was an officer in the Union Army and not getting off the sidewalk, not doing the kinds of obeisance that slaves were expected to do.
When he attempted to settle a dispute among a group of Smithville women, they were horrified by his presumption.
Two of the same party met me on the street, and when they saw I was going to take the inside of the pavement, they gazed at me with such strictured frowns and rubbed the very palings to compel me to go into the street and give them the sidewalk. But I returned the gazing compliment, and I kept on till we had effected a collision, when we both stopped and looked at each other until they gave me that pavement. I don't think my eyes ever suffered more than when I compelled them to keep sight on those frightful faces. I shall never impose upon my eyes such things again.
Turner let the white ladies of Smithville know just who was in charge, who was winning, and that times were not going to be the same.
Would God I could find words adequate to express my joy and thankfulness for the abundant blessings to our race. But as I am deprived of such prerogatives, I must be contented to use the language of an old colored lady yesterday. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Thank you.
And oh, and oh, the one thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
like to thank Professors Edwin S. Redke and Alan Ballard for their participation in this project. The words of Reverend Turner were read by Alan Ballard.